stay with me. And finally, there came a time in my life when I could say to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Once I believed and committed myself to Him, I came to see that my choice was the right one. So if you are wrestling with your doubts today, follow this process. Find out what you actually believe. Don't go by what you say you believe. What do your actions say you believe? You say you believe in helping the poor and oppressed of society. But what do your actions say? Do you ever do anything or give anything to help the poor and the oppressed? Next, don't be afraid to use your reason to explore your faith. The Christian faith is not a blind faith. Reason does play a significant part in our faith development. Do you doubt the resurrection of Jesus, as did Thomas? Well, differences do exist in the accounts of the resurrection in the four Gospels, but they agree in the important details. The disciples, all of whom deserted Jesus at the cross, were convinced that they had seen the Lord. They preached like persons on fire, proclaiming, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God raised from the dead." The resurrection, in my judgment, is the only thing that could account for such a dramatic change in their lives. Ours is not a blind faith. Then, pray for the gift of faith. No one can take a bottle of faith and pour it into you. It doesn't work that way. Over the years, I've said to people, if you don't have faith, pray for it. And someday, God will give you the gift of faith. God will not leave you bobbing around forever in a sea of doubt. And when the Holy Spirit does create faith in your heart, you'll discover that it was well worth waiting for. But another thing you must do is to act on the faith you already have. Obey Christ as you now understand Him. You will discover that the German martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer was right when he said, "Only he who is obedient believes." In other words, when you put Jesus' teachings into practice, you show that you at least believe in Him to some extent. And in turn, your obedience will create more faith. For example, if you obey Jesus and forgive someone, you'll discover that Jesus was right in what He said about forgiveness. It's a powerful dynamic that can change your life and the life of someone else as well. Thus, that experience of obedience, you see, will lead you to have more faith. In the meantime, as you seek faith, keep nourishing the climate for faith by being part of a faith community just as Thomas was. Worship with others as you do here. Study with them. Pray with them. And serve with them. It's crucial not to try to live a go-it-alone life. Faith is still more caught than taught. If you stay away from people who know the Lord in their own experience, you may never come to a deeper faith. You will see Christ in them. And so, I'm glad Jesus chose Thomas. Strong tradition says that in 50 AD, Thomas went to India to preach the gospel. In fact, he has often been referred to as the apostle to India. What we do know positively about Thomas is that one morning he traveled the streets of Jerusalem and went to the upper room to meet the risen Christ. On that short journey, as it were, He moved from doubt to faith, from saying, "Prove it to me, Lord," to saying, "My Lord and my God." My friends, this church, empowered by that same risen Christ, stands ever ready to help you on your journey of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us now, as God's people, stand and say what we believe as we affirm the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And now, I invite you to remember the words of Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Let us worship God with our morning offering. Thank you. us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you especially today for the gift of the risen Christ. And we bring these gifts to you this morning, asking you to bless them so that others may come to know that you indeed are the risen Christ. In his name we ask it. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you this morning for this church and for all that it has meant to us through the years. We pray for those in our midst who need your special prayers today. We have noted them in our bulletin. We ask that you will be by their side and help them to know that you are with them in their illness or in their grief or in their struggles to find faith. And Lord, we pray not only for our congregation, but we pray for our community, that it may become a more loving community. In fact, we pray for our nation, that it may come together so that all of us can work for the common good. We pray for the world as it is torn by strife from here to Syria. We pray that somehow we can avoid further destruction by chemical weapons, that somehow men, women, and children may kneel before you, come to peace. All of these prayers, Lord, we make in the strong name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of worship is 526, For All the Saints.
Oh,
Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen. Thank you.